thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that there is freedom through the power of Jesus, the power of your shed blood, Lord, the power of your Spirit, the power of your resurrection. God, you can help us break free from sin, from all kind of demonic bondage and oppression. We thank you, Lord, that you have not changed. You came, Lord, to call the sinner to repentance. You came to set the captives free. You came to heal the brokenhearted, to preach the gospel to the poor, to set at liberty those that are bruised. Lord, we're so grateful for what you have done. And, Lord, what you're doing and what you're still going to do, Lord, no matter how evil and dark the world becomes, no matter how full of hate and murder and death and violence and evil, you are still going to move in this place. You're going to move upon your people. You're going to move through your people. And you're going to move mightily in some, even some of these wicked people. You're going to bring them to their knees and they're going to repent and acknowledge you as their Lord and Savior. And we thank you that for that, Lord. We thank you that we will see miracles because you have not changed. You are the same yesterday, today, forever. And we thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We want to welcome everyone to Fire and Grace Church this morning. Those of you here, those watching and listening, all over the place, all kind of stuff going on in the world. Man, let me tell you, I won't get into it this morning, but I went down a rabbit hole last night on vaccines and population control. And boy, I tell you what, I'm actually shocked at what I found. I'll maybe be sharing that, I don't know, in the next few weeks. But a lot of people don't know that the World Health Organization and some of these other groups have been putting a hormone in tetanus vaccines, other vaccines that they've been distributing in the world to cause women to have spontaneous abortions or miscarriages. And I found out that this is more widespread than I even knew. And I guess I realized that the evil is far worse than we can even imagine. I mean, to tell a woman, and you know what's so bad? I mean, everybody wants to be talking about, you know, the racism issue. Let me tell you, let me tell you the biggest racist in the world, the World Health Organization, the Bill Gates Foundation. Because you know what they've been doing? They've been doing these vaccines. They'll do them in India and Africa. Well, that's what people ought to be. You want to burn something down. There's some things that need to be burnt down right there. There's just some evil. Evil. But let me just tell you, that's why, if anybody wants to know why I'm not taking any vaccines, it's because we don't know what they're going to put in them. I found out, too, they can manipulate certain parts of a vaccine ingredient to manipulate cancer. This is not a game. These people are evil, and they've been caught. They've been caught doing it, but you won't hear it on CNN or MSNBC or ABC or CBS or even Fox News. You won't hear it. You have to actually go look at it yourself. But guess where I found all these documents to prove all this? I found it on the NIH website. Because they have a database on all studies that have been going on about with vaccines across the world since, I guess, I mean, some of them going back to the 80s I saw last night. And they've been working on vaccines to sterilize people for population control. But what's so sad is it's not just that they sterilize people. It's the fact that they actually kills the baby in the womb. It's not sterilization. It's spontaneous abortions. And they put this stuff in vaccines without telling you. CDC and the FDA, they're all corrupt, folks. And I'm just going to tell you, though. You know, it dawned on me last night. You know, Trump has been very clear. Everybody talks about Trump is going to push in the vaccine. Trump's only talking about the vaccine because that's what the whole establishment is doing. And he has said publicly that some will want to take it, some won't want to take it. So he made it very clear that he is saying some will want it, some won't, that he's for choice on the matter, right? But let's remember something. The federal government in the United States may not mandate the vaccine, but your governor might. For your state. You get what I'm saying? It's something we need to think about. It may just come down to which state chooses to go that direction. Of course, we know if Biden gets in, it will be federally mandated. You will have to do it. And then we have to decide if we're going to take a stand. And this is something I want to talk about this morning. And during praise and worship, I finally got direction. I want you to, let's first turn to Matthew chapter 5. It's almost going to sound like a Sunday school lesson. When we were children, Jesus talked about this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, right? Sounds cute. In the days ahead, it'll get you put in prison or killed. You understand? Let's read this. We're going to read Matthew 5. We're going to read verses 13 here through 16. And then we're going to go to John chapter 3. He says, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men." And we're going to come back to that in just a second. He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Now, we've read this many times. If you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you know, Jesus said, "Let your light shine." We all think we know what that means. Oh, let him see your good works. But it's much more than that. And he talks about, too, us being salt and light. And he says if the salt loses basically its saltiness, it's not good anymore. Can I just tell you that we got a lot of Christians who have lost their saltiness. And they've put their light under a bushel because they're afraid. But I want to explain something to you. Letting your light shine means that you are unafraid. You are open. You are public. And let me just go on and tell you this. Light exposes what's in the darkness. And the darkness will not like it. The darkness wants to stay hidden. It wants to stay, you know, in the background and work. It's evil. It wants to slither in the darkness. But if you are the light of the world, if you are truly letting the light of Jesus Christ and the light of God's word, the light of truth shine through you, that you're out there, you're not ashamed, you're not afraid, you're not hiding it, you're not putting it under a bushel, you're letting it shine. Can I just tell you that the world and those that live in darkness and those that love the darkness will hate you. You understand? Not just dislike you, hate you, detest you, want you dead. You understand that? People now, you think I'm joking, but people now are starting to say in public, like in Walmart, if they see you without a mask because you don't believe the lies, I hope you die. I hope you get the virus and die. Boy, isn't that sweet. Simply because we know the truth and we're not ashamed of the truth and we're not ashamed to publicly shed light on all these stupid lies like the mask. But you think the mask is something. Remember, Emperor Nero set his own city on fire so he could blame the Christians, so he could kill the Christians. That's how demon-possessed he was, and that's how full of hatred he was. That same spirit is in the world right now. It is a spirit of Antichrist, anti-Christian. And it is not about being at peace with you. It hates you. And let me just tell you this. If you put your light under the bushel, if you hide it, what are you doing? You're creating darkness. You're part of the problem. See, somebody said a long time ago, so goes the church, so goes the nation. You wonder why our nation is so deceived and so in darkness and so entrenched in sin is because a long time ago, the church started hiding the light. Oh, we said, oh, no, Pastor Dean, we preach the gospel. No, you don't. Because the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the light of God's word, exposes sin, wickedness, pride, evil plots and schemes of Satan and his people. No, we've had churches that decided we're going to be seeker sensitive. So we're going to try to craft a message that won't offend those in darkness. Heck, we got churches now that won't even offend Christians that are living in sin and worldliness. They have figured out how to hide the light and still look Christian. But see, all that's getting exposed right now, isn't it? It's all getting exposed. We're finding out who's who. And we're going to find out more and more who's who. Well, Pastor Dean, I might, again, I've said it over and over in these last weeks. Pastor Dean, I might lose my job if I let my light shine. Pastor Dean, they might put me in jail. Pastor Dean, they might fine me, write me a ticket. Americans, come on now, we've been soft. I think about the guy that put in my cable and internet about, 6 or 7 years ago now, was an Iraqi Kurd Christian. And the man told me, he said, Saddam Hussein killed my whole family. Gassed them, killed them. And he talked to me about what it was like, growing up as a Kurd in Iraq, and the hatred that he lived under every day from the Muslims. And he said this. He said these words. He said, a true Muslim does not love anything. He said they love death. They love murder. They love destruction. This is what he said. This is a Kurd, an Iraqi Kurd. He said they don't love anything. And I was thinking about him, and I was just thinking about, what would it be like to live your whole life knowing that if you said something about Jesus, that could be it that day. And every day would be like that. Again, we're soft. We're worried about somebody fussing at us. We're worried about upsetting somebody in the store. We're soft. Let your light shine. Now, let me show you. Go to John 3. Can I tell you, this is how you know you're letting your light shine? When the world hates you. When the wicked, the unsaved, those in darkness, even the Christians that love the darkness and live in the darkness, when they hate you. When it comes out of their mouth, when the disdain comes out, you know you are being the light of the world. But until then, I don't know. You probably just, you're a closet Christian. Time to come out. Come out of the closet. Quit hiding in the darkness. Let's read John 3. It's what Jesus said. Now we'll start reading here. Let's see. Let's start at verse 16. John 3:16. Oh my. I wonder if how many people could quote that correctly in here this morning. My students could. All right? If your translation, as we're going to read it, if your translation says shall instead of should, it's time to get a new translation, the right translation. All right, let's read this. John 3, verse 16, and we're going to read down through verse 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Now, let me just, again, define this word, because many people don't understand. In the Western English-speaking world, we think that just means in our heads we believe something. But our actions may or may not show it. Just a belief. No, this word is much stronger than that. It means to rely on, to trust in, to cling to profess. It's a word of faith. It has actions to it. All right? So when he says here, and it's a present tense Greek verb, so it means ongoing, continuous action taking place in the present. Right? So let's read it again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Should not. What does should not mean? It's conditional, right? It's not automatic. If I say, if you get in your car, right, and as long as you drive in the right lane you're supposed to be in and keep your car on the road and use your gas pedal when you need to and use your brake when you need to, you should be able to get to the Winn-Dixie down here. You should be. It doesn't mean you will, because you might be hard-headed and have your own way to drive, maybe blindfolded or something, or talking on the phone, putting on makeup at the same time. I don't know. But you should be able to make it. Of course, no one in this room does that, right? All right. Talking on the phone and putting on makeup. Of course, you can't do that in Georgia. It's illegal. But here in Alabama, you can still get away with that one. All right. So he said, should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Again, might be saved. Everybody see that? Might be. These people teach that everybody's going to heaven no matter what, whether they believe in Jesus or not. That's a lie. Jesus did die for everyone. He paid the price for everyone's sin. But it's still up to you to believe, repent, and follow him. Amen? That's why he says, might be. Sometimes we just have to slow down and look at these words, right? All right. He says, but he that believeth on him, verse 18, and that's the trust in, rely in, cling to, follow continuously, is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. He's saying God doesn't have to condemn. You're already condemned if you don't have Jesus. So if you don't believe, if you don't follow him, if you don't trust him, if you don't walk with him, you're already condemned. Nobody has to condemn you. You are condemned. He says, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and that name, of course, is Jesus Christ. But verse 19, and this is the condemnation. You want to know what the condemnation is? What condemns you? He says that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light. You see that? Neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The word reproved there means to be exposed, manifested, revealed. See, the darkness and the people that love the darkness, they don't want their sin. They don't want what's in the darkness and what they're doing in the dark. They don't want that exposed. They don't want that revealed. Right? Because they hate the light. Verse 21, but he that doeth truth, and I love how the phrase is, he that doeth, practices habitually the truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. Truth. See, someone who is about letting the light of Jesus shine through their lives is all about the truth. I want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I'm not afraid of the truth. I'm going to speak the truth. I don't care if it's to my own hurt. I'm going to tell the truth. But the darkness is going to lie. Remember, Satan, just remember this, the prince of darkness, the evil one, the adversary, that old dragon, the serpent, the devil, Lucifer, whatever you, all the different names that he has. All those names, tempter, deceiver, all that darkness that he lives in, every bit of it, he is in that darkness. You hear what I'm saying? He is that darkness. And he's a liar. So guess what liars are? They're part of that darkness. Jesus said he's the liar, the father of lies. Jesus said what also? He's a father of lies and he's a murderer. He loves to kill and steal and destroy. So listen, anything that's behind lies, any lies that are being told, and anything that's producing death and destruction, that is the work of darkness. That is the work of Satan, Lucifer, the devil, the dragon. Say, Pastor Dean, we know this. I know, but it's still sometimes I wonder, do we really? The Pastor Dean, they say, all the time I get these emails and messages and comments. Pastor Dean, do you know another pastor? You know a pastor who preaches like you in my area? And I'm like, I wish I did. I said, they might be there, but I don't know about them yet. But what are they talking about over and over again? They say, thank you for telling the truth. Boldly telling the truth about everything. I don't care what it is, about the New World Order, about the vaccine agenda, about the depopulation agenda, about abortion, about, you know, all of the stuff, about creation. Just telling the truth. Because guess what? People who want to live in the light of Jesus and walk in the light and be the light, you know what they're hungry for? The truth. They want the truth. Let me tell you, you find some Christians that don't want the whole truth, they are Christians that have lost their saltiness, their salt that no longer is salt. Their light they've put under a bushel, they've extinguished it, no one can see it. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me and of my words, I'm going to be ashamed of you. See, I'm not ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of the Bible, from what it says from Genesis to the book of Revelation. But it's one thing to say I'm not ashamed. You got to not be ashamed of it with your friends, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, at Walmart. Some folks say, listen, some folks have already decided they've given up, right? Well, Pastor Dean, we know where the world's going, and we just need to hunker down and be ready to bug out into the woods. No. For his people. He didn't say that for his people. Let your light shine. Let's look back at this. John 3 again, down here. I want to read this again. 19, 20, 21. And this is the condemnation, Jesus said, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. There's some evil deeds going on. Let me tell you what this, the vaccine agenda going on in the world right now. How about the lie is, oh, it's good for you. It's safe. Vaccines are safe and effective. No. The vaccine agenda for the longest time now has been to kill, steal, and destroy. It doesn't take a top scientist to know you shouldn't put mercury in something you're going to inject into the veins of little children. And yet the world's so backwards, somebody like me says, hey, you're not shooting mercury into my child, a neurotoxin, to damage their brain and their nervous system. You're not shooting at them. And somehow the world has flipped it around that I'm the bad guy. But you know why they hate that? Because it exposes that evil, that darkness, that satanic murderous spirit. That spirit that's just trying to make money. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want you injecting formaldehyde into my child. Or glyphosate. Or aluminum. Or how about this one? I don't want you injecting aborted baby cells into me or my children. But somehow we are weird and the enemy for exposing how wicked and evil that is. That first of all, that you took an aborted baby, a baby that was murdered, and you're going to take those cells and inject them into my child's body. And, I mean, how are Christians okay with this? Listen, our lieutenant governor in the state, I just read this article just this week, Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth. Now, I have no doubt the man's a Christian. Be honest, I think he's a Christian. But I call him and Kay Ivey and Scott Harris the Trinity of Ignorance in Alabama. They are the Trinity of Ignorance. Because he said that he's not for mandatory vaccines. But then he said, but if the COVID vaccine comes out, me and my children, we're going to get it. And I'm like, oh, this is a Christian. One of our Christian political leaders in the state, a conservative, but ignorant, deceived, leading people the wrong way. And you don't think, let me tell you, Miss, our governor, Kay Ivey or Poison Ivy, whatever you want to call her, if they come out with a vaccine, even if it's not federally mandated, she'll force it on us while pretending to be a Christian conservative. You know why? Because she's not walking in the light. Because if you know the truth about vaccines and about the pharmaceutical companies, if you know the truth about them, which guess what? It doesn't take much research to find out the truth. If you do a little research and a little study outside of CNN, you'll find out the truth, and then you got to take a stand for the truth. Because let me just tell you, some of these leaders are going to stand before the judgment of God and they are going to be cast into hell because they have blood on their hands. Doctors, nurses, political leaders. I mean, Andrew Cuomo sent COVID-infected people into nursing homes and just let people die. Restricted the use of hydroxychloroquine and the Z-Pak. And people died. And look, just yesterday in Newsweek magazine, Dr. Reich, Yale School of Epidemiology, has over 300 published papers. Yale doctor said the answer to COVID-19 is already here. And he said, and we better get to using it. And he said, it's hydroxychloroquine with zinc and the Z-Pak. And he said, the study after study after study across the world and the experiences of all these doctors that have treated hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of patients shows that it is safe and effective and that it stops it in its tracks. Why has this been pushed to the sideline? It's political, and it's been political. But let me tell you something. When you're playing politics with people's lives, when you're playing politics with tens of thousands of people who will live or die based on what you do, you want to talk about evil? To know that there's a cure and to hold that back from people and to watch them suffer and die? And the vast majority of the people who have died was in California and New York in nursing homes. Can you imagine? This thing causes people's lungs to fill up and close up. Can you imagine? That's like drowning someone. And you've got the cure and you know it, but because Trump is the one that said, hey, this works, because Trump said it, you're going to say, uh-uh, we can't have that. You have to understand, we are in a war, and it's life or death. And just something as simple as telling the truth about a treatment for a deadly, whatever this is, man-made biological terror weapon, because that's what it is. It's not a natural virus. In fact, they combined SARS, HIV, and the coronavirus together. It's a man-made soup. It's probably not even a virus. It's probably a parasite, which is why the malaria medicine works, because that's against the parasite. But don't even get me going down that road just yet. We'll stick with the narrative that it's a virus. But we know what stops it in its tracks. So you got a Yale doctor coming out, Newsweek magazine, there's a Harvard doctor, the New York doctor that's treated almost 1,000 patients, the top doctor in the world, Dr. Didier Raoult, said it in February. But here's one of the most respected doctors in the world saying it in February. We have the treatment. We have what stops it. He said, in fact, game over for the coronavirus. But he gets vilified and just lied about. His character gets destroyed in the press because Trump told people it worked. And let me just say this. I hope someone from the Trump campaign is listening to me. With all of these studies now that's come out, you know, there was one study that came out about against the hydroxychloroquine, Z-Pak. It was the one they jumped on. It was the published in The Lancet that said it didn't help and that people died from it, right? Well, guess what? What most people don't know, because the press just keeps going with the lie, what most people don't know is that the authors of that study retracted it in June because it was so flawed. But the press, that's what you hear right now. And so doctors are making decisions about not treating people with this, with the treatment, with the cure, because of CNN. Let me tell you, there's some corrupt stuff going on. Evil stuff. So why do I bring that up? Because look, it's simple truth. Somebody has COVID-19 and their lungs are filling up and they're getting in trouble. You put them on this, it stops it in its tracks. I know this. My sister's father-in-law, 80 years old, was in trouble. He tested positive. Guess what? They gave him hydroxychloroquine. Immediately turned around. And he's 80 years old. And do you know the people who have died from this? I'm talking about vast majority. You hear me? vast majority, 75 and older. In fact, in the studies, in Dr. Raoult's studies, and he's treated like 4,000 patients and has had a 98% success rate, and everyone who died in the studies was 75 and older. He said between 75 and 95. Isn't that interesting? Same thing with the flu. It's just a simple fact of life. Older people are more vulnerable to these things. And yet we've shut down the state. How many businesses have gone under? How many families are not able to pay their bills or buy groceries or may be homeless? Because we listened to a lie. How many people have gone broke and are in such depression and despair that they've killed themselves or now contemplating it over a lie? This is why liars go to hell, folks. I'm going to lie about it because Trump said it. This was a treatment. So let's lie and just watch people die. Now, let me tell you. Governor Gavin Newsom, California. Governor Cuomo. What's his name? Pritzker, whatever it is, in Illinois. Doctors, you better listen up. If you're ignoring the truth and letting people die, suffer and die, that's why there's a hell, and that's where you're going. There is a hell. Matter of fact, we know the Bible clearly says in 1 John chapter 3 that no murderer has eternal life abiding in them. The abortion industry, the vaccine industry, and now the COVID-19 industry. Because what is the agenda of the COVID-19 pandemic? What is the agenda? Take over. Governmental control. You know, Gavin Newsom of California, the governor of California, said that. He said, we see this as an opportunity to change the way that we govern. We see this as a new era, a new progressive era, a step forward. Isn't it amazing that the socialist Democrats always need everything to go to hell in a handbasket to advance their cause? They need the destruction of the economy, fear, rioting, pandemics. It really is amazing, isn't it? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. Here's the good news, though. Let me say this as we turn to Ephesians 5. Here's the good news. If we're faithful, that's what I told my wife, gets so discouraged sometimes with just seeing the level of stupidity that seems to be the main thing of the day. But she gets discouraged, and I had to tell her, I said, look, babe, I said, first of all, she knows this. You got to stop looking. She says, I got to stop looking at the comments and some of these things. Social media, I said, yeah, because if you don't, the level of stupid will just overwhelm your soul. But I said, you know, babe, I said, this is all we can do. We pray and we let our light shine. We don't back away from the truth. We step up to the plate publicly. We shine brightly. We speak the truth and let the chips fall where they may. The good news is that people will come, not all, maybe not even the majority, but people will come to the light when they see it. People will say, there will be people say, I was wrong. I believed the lies. I was deceived. Thank you. Thank you for telling the truth when nobody else would tell me the truth. And that's what we do it for. We're not going to stop everything that's coming. The new world order is coming. We will not stop it. There will be a world government. There will be an antichrist. There will be the mark of the beast. There will be martyrdom and death. There will be a third world war. There will be famine and pestilence. But the Lord promised. Listen, this is the promise from Isaiah 60. He said, darkness will cover the earth and gross darkness the people, but the Lord will arise upon his people. And his glory will be upon his people, and his light will be seen upon his people. He said, even kings are going to come to your light as you arise and shine and let your light shine. There will be people saved. There will be people delivered. There'll even be leaders, governmental leaders that come to Jesus, that come to the truth, that take a stand. Don't lose hope, even though the darkness is growing and spreading. Just do what you can do to be the light of Jesus, the light of truth in the world. Pray and seek God that he will give you ideas, creative ideas, how to get out there and let your light shine. Don't let the fear and depression, don't let hopelessness set in. That's not what we're about. Because I want to go out of here in a blaze of glory. Happy. And that when I stand before the judgment seat of Jesus Christ to hear, well done, good and faithful servant, and then to walk over and see all the people that I helped make it there. You know, I've shared this before, but I'll never forget the day after my mother passed away. She passed away on October 2nd, 2010. That was a rough day. But the next day was, that was a Saturday, the next day was Sunday morning, went to church. And I mean, I didn't really think it would affect me like it did when my mother passed away. It was just like getting hit by a truck of grief. I never felt grief like that before. And but I said, we're going to church. Because at that time, we weren't having services. I said, we're going to church. So we went to a church in LaGrange. I was sitting in the back row. And the music started. And I can't, I mean, I'm just, you know, as they say, a hot mess of tears and grief. And not that I was, I knew my mom was saved. I knew she was ready. I knew it was her time. But it's still nothing like losing your mom. And, but I remember at that moment, the presence of God came all over me. And it was like I saw, I mean, I had my head down, I had my eyes closed, but I saw into heaven. I saw a vision, and I know it wasn't just a vision. I know I was seeing into heaven. I was seeing Jesus standing beside my mom, and she looked like she did when she was in her 20s. And she looked healthy, and she looked happy, and she was just glowing. And you know, and the Lord, and she's standing there in a white robe, and she's standing beside him, and he's in a white robe, And then it's like they're, he's communicating with her, but then he turns and he says to me, "Thank you for helping one of my children make it home. Because I led her to Jesus in 1987. Thank you." And I was blown away by that because I'm like, "Lord, what do you mean? You know, you draw people. You say," and the Lord was like, "No. I use you. And you choose. You choose to work with me. And when you choose to work with me and we're co-laborers together, good things happen." And see, and what's going to matter is when we let our light shine. Look, like I've said before, my mom cussed me out. She hated the light for a while that was in me. But I let it shine. I made her miserable. But I let it shine and shine and shine until she finally got saved. And see, there's going to be a day when you stand up there in heaven. You want to hear, "Well done." And let me tell you why you're going to hear, "Well done." You're going to hear, "Well done," because you were not ashamed of Jesus. You were not ashamed of his word. You were not ashamed of any truth in the Bible. You were not ashamed to let it shine, because that's what's going to bring people. People are going to come to the light you shine. I've said it many times. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." But then he says, "You are the light of the world." And if Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and life." Well, if he's, they already thought you were crazy. We believe God Almighty, the Creator, became a little baby in the womb of a virgin and then was born and then lived a sinless life, did miracles, healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, caused the crippled to walk, the deaf to hear, the blind to see, and then died on a cross for our sins and rose from the dead 3 days later. That we believe that. You think the wicked, you think the evil people out there in the world, do you think that they think that's sane? Their definition of sane? I mean, where do you draw the line? Do you believe in the flood, the great flood in Noah's day? Do you believe in the giants that once roamed the earth? What about the story of Gideon or Samson or Moses, God parting the Red Sea for Moses, destroying the Egyptians? Where do you say, "Well, I believe this, but I don't believe this"? Say, "Pastor Dean, all that's silliness, foolishness. That's myths and fairy tales." Yeah, until you get to know him yourself, right? And he starts parting some seas for you. And you get what I'm saying? I love it. God is supernatural just by who he is. He's super beyond the natural. Nothing's too hard for him. That's who we serve. But see, that's truth. Truth sets the captives free. Let's read this. Ephesians 5. I didn't forget. No. Let's read. Oh, let's just read from verse 1 since it's only 12 o'clock. So early. We have baptisms today. Hallelujah. Let's Ephesians 5, verse 1. The Apostle Paul under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing to the saints at Ephesus, the believers, the born-again Christians. He writes, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, no foolish talking, nor jestings which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness." You see that? "You were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." Light in the Lord. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You want a message this morning? This is it right here. This is the verse. You were sometimes darkness, but now, if you're born again, if you're in Jesus, if you're a Christian, you are the light of the Lord. Walk as children of the light, and the children of the light are not ashamed. They're not weak. They're not fearful. They're not going to bow the knee to any of this beast system. And then he says this. He says, "You were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. For the fruit of the Spirit in all goodness and righteousness and truth." Somebody say truth. Oh, come on. You can do better than that. Truth. Truth. That's what it's all about. The truth. Verse 10, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now, the word reprove, what does that mean again? To expose, to make manifest. Now, some people get this confused because they read the next verse. It says, "For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." What he's saying there, look, there's some things I don't say. Because it's so wicked and evil and horrible, I'm just not going to say it. But that doesn't mean we don't expose them. Simply the light. Like, I don't go into all the details of what's going on with human trafficking. Okay? There's no need to go into that. But we still expose it, what it is. That it's sin, that it's wickedness, that it's evil, that it's an epidemic of it going on. We don't have to talk about all the gory details. That's all that's talking about. I don't have to go into every detail, especially in mixed company with little children around. They say, guess what? If you're the light, if you're being the light, you're going to make manifest, meaning you're going to expose evil. And what did Jesus say? Going back to John 3, if you do that, men will hate you because they love the darkness. See, there's people that love the darkness. We wonder why they won't listen, why they won't come. There's people that love it. They love to get drunk. They love to do drugs. They love their sexual sin. They love their pornography. They love evil. Remember, y'all see, how many of you have seen the video of the demon-possessed abortion doctor? Y'all seen that video? He said, I hate Christ. That's a demon talking to him. I hate Christ. Ah. I mean, he's talking like, ah. He's fully demon-possessed. He loves the dark. See, he's embraced it, the darkness. He thinks he's doing good. Remember Isaiah said, a day would come that good would be evil and evil would be good. We're there. I mean, there's people actually think that going into a woman's womb and chopping their baby up in pieces, that that's a good thing. There's people that actually think that if by chance a woman in an abortion clinic gives birth to a baby that's living. I just saw depositions the other day, Planned Parenthood depositions, where they were admitting that babies had come out alive and that they had killed them. But they think that the abortion doctors and the people in that industry think that's good. They think it's great. Let's see how much money we can get for this baby's heart. Let's see how much money we can get for this baby's liver. This is great. We're making money. We're getting rich. And half of America thinks that's good. You hear me? You wonder why someone like Bill Clinton or Obama could get elected? Because half the country thinks that that kind of wickedness is good. Walk as children of the light. See, that's why they hate us, y'all. It's not that they hate us. They hate the truth. They hate the light of Jesus Christ. They hate being exposed. See, here, this is how they do it. This is how they do it right here, right? We eliminated the fetus. You hear that? We eliminated the fetus. We evacuated the fetus. Not we chopped it up while it screamed in pain and ripped it out like a serial killer. Let me just tell you something. Chopping a human being in pieces is chopping a human being in pieces, no matter how big they are, how old they are. But you see, I mean, a lot of Christians even have been desensitized. Well, I mean, look, you know, even among conservative politicians, well, I'm okay with abortion and the, you know, if there's been rape or incest. Oh, okay. So you have found a perimeter to justify killing another human being. As a Christian. But see, let me just go and tell you right now. You think for one second that that's not going to spread to killing of people that don't agree with you? Killing of people who might be dangerous. These anti-vaxxers. We got to get rid of you people because you're dangerous. Well, wait a minute. Now, how am I dangerous? If you're vaccinated, aren't you protected from me? So I guess you believe your vaccine doesn't work. So if your vaccine doesn't work, why are you mad at me? Because I'm not getting your vaccine that doesn't work. But do you notice that people can't even think logically anymore? They can't even think through that. You say that to people, it's a blank stare on their face. Wait a minute now. You're worried about my child who's not vaccinated. Let's, you know, say giving your child whooping cough, but your child's been vaccinated against whooping cough, right? How is my child endangering your child? How? See, if the truth be told, like, and this is what I think Trump's doing it with this, the vaccine thing. Oh, and I get you anti-Trumpers out, you're gone. I just eliminate you from YouTube, Facebook, so I don't want to hear it. But you know what? Hey, you want to inject poison in you? Go right ahead. If that makes you feel better, you think it's actually going to make you safe from COVID, go right ahead. But don't tell me I have to. If you think that's what's going to protect you, then you do it. And if you really believe it's going to protect you, then it doesn't matter if I get COVID and get around you, right? So we should just all get along. But that's not what's going to happen. Because we got the same, listen, we got the same mindset of evil, the satanic mindset of Nazi Germany slipping in. See, the Nazi Germany, it was the health officials. Y'all know this, right? It was the health officials that convinced the German people that the Jews were an unclean, infectious disease that endangered their family and their children and their health. People say, well, the German people just didn't know. They knew what was going on. But they were okay with it. Why were they okay with it? Because they truly believed what the health officials were telling them about these dirty, filthy Jews that are going to infect you and your family, that they're genetically flawed. Oh, I just watched a video before I came to church this morning of a Black Lives Matter leader in Canada saying that white people are genetically flawed, subhuman. I'm not lying. Subhuman. Do you know those are the same words that the Nazis used to the Jews? They're subhuman. They're like rats. They carry these diseases. We got to get rid of them to save our society. Let me tell you. It's the Christians. And you know, let me tell you why. You know what? Let me tell you why. There's such an outrage, just such a hatred right now rising for white people. Because really, in America, most of your evangelical Christians, the majority of your evangelical are white people. Just for sheer population differences. Protestant, Christian. And guess what? Generally, it's two. It's the older population. My age grouping up. I've had people say, we just want you older ones to die off. Think about that. I've had that said to me. You think these people get in power? They're not going to become like Nazi Germany? Then Hillary, everybody missed it when she was running in 2016. Yeah, we're going to have to start shipping these conservatives off to fun camps. And she's laughing. No. No, you just need to understand. It's not Republican and Democrat anymore. It's good and evil. And the evil side wants to wipe out, kill, murder the good side. Because you know what they want? They want to do whatever they want to do. They want to be able to kill when they want to kill, abort babies when they want to abort babies, rape people when they want to rape people, molest kids when they want to molest kids. They want to be able to do whatever they want. They don't want us around telling them, no, that's wrong, that's immoral, that's evil, that's wicked, that's criminal. Well, it's coming fast, isn't it? God help us. So what are we going to do? We going to run and hide? No. Let your light shine. The truth of God's word, the truth of Jesus. And if you're shining, and it's not just, listen, folks, it's not just what's in the Bible. The truth will shine light on whatever is wicked and evil and a lie and murderous. It will always expose. That's why people don't get it. They just don't get it. You know, I can deal. I'll tell you what. If you got an unsaved person that has a conscience and they're trying to do some good things and expose some lies and some evil and some murderous plots. Good for them. We got Christians right now. They're like the person in the flood on the rooftop. The helicopter comes and they say, no, I prayed to the Lord to save me. Because the helicopter pilot wasn't a Christian of their denomination. No, go away. I'm waiting for the Lord to save me. No, you're going to drown. You're going to die. I promise you this, folks, and I'm going to stop because it's now 12:15. I promise you this. I got one more verse. Y'all ready? One more verse. I got to do it because, you know, it came to my mind a minute ago. 1 Peter chapter 3. I got to read this one. You are going to be persecuted if you let your light shine. You will be reproached. You will be maligned and talked about. Let me get to my... Yeah, I'm sorry. Chapter 4, verse 12. But if you let your light shine, and another word for light is the glory of God. He says here, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. Look at verse 14. If ye be reproached, spoken against, hate, you know, just evil talked about, persecuted. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. For the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you, and on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Look, if you're letting your light shine and you're catching hell from all kinds of people, guess what? That means the glory of God is upon you because they hate the glory. They hate the light. They hate the truth. And sometimes it's so funny, you don't even have to say a word. The demons in them just can't stand the glory and light of God that's on you and flowing out of you. And the demons in them can see it in the spirit. You ever had that happen? People just don't like you, and you didn't even do anything to them. You didn't even say anything to them, and they just hate you, just look at you like they want you to die. Just evil. They're giving you the evil stink eye. Like, what'd I do? I was pumping gas one time. A demon-possessed girl walked by me looking at me like, you know, like a psycho killer. My wife and Faith saw it. They're like, what is she doing, man? I mean, she gave me that walk by the, you know, I'm like, I see you, demon. I see you. And I know you see Jesus in me. I know what you're seeing. It's funny. You're going to have more of that. You're going to have people walk up to you growling and talking. I've had that one happen too. Just growling. Yeah. What was that? You know, I remember I visited Texas back in the 80s, and I'd been twice. And the first time I'd been there, I cast demons out of this doctor. And I remember walking up to this demon-possessed guy, and he was so demon-possessed. And the first word, I never met this guy before in my life, right? And he walks up and he gets right in my face and he goes, you've been here before. And I went, yes, I have. And I knew who was talking to me. No, they recognize you. They know when the glory of Jesus is on you. They know when the light's on you and the power is on you. Let it shine, folks. Light always pushes back darkness. So, Pastor Dean, we're not going to push it all back. No. It won't all be pushed back until Jesus returns because he's a much brighter light than all of us, right? But he doesn't want us to draw back and not let our light shine. We are to try to do as much good as we can possibly do. Shine as much light, as much truth as we possibly can. We should do everything in our power to fight against this. No matter what aspects of it, we're not going to stop. There are things we can stop, and there are people we can save if we let our light shine. So let's do it. Let's stand. And we're going to pray. What? Oh, yeah. My wife reminded me we're having communion next Sunday. And the reason we're announcing that is because I don't know why we haven't done it before, but for the first time we're going to do it. We're going to let the viewers join us. So if you want to participate in communion in your home or wherever you are in different parts of the country and the world, and you want to have communion with us, just make sure you get you some unleavened crackers and some grape juice and get ready to join us for communion next Sunday. Probably, I don't know, at the beginning of the service or right after praise and worship or something like that. But just if you want to join us, you're welcome to do that. We've had some people ask about that. So we're going to do that. Also, don't forget, 3 months out from Skyfall, it's hard to believe it's less than 100 days away, skyfallconference.org. I know some of you are waiting to find out and see how things are going to be. Do what you got to do, but just pray. If you're supposed to come, let God lead you. If you're not, you know, I do that with everything. I just pray and seek God about whether I should go somewhere or not go somewhere, especially if it's traveling any distance. Just make sure you pray through it and you know and you have peace that God wants you to come. And then come on, but we want to have you. Love to have everybody that can make it to Skyfall, October 23rd through the 25th. We're going to do it in LaGrange, Georgia at the Callaway Conference Center. It's going to be another wonderful time of fellowship and praise and worship and getting into some of the things that I've been meaning to get into, but I can't seem to get into them. But I'm loaded, so I don't even know what I'm going to be doing at Skyfall. There's no telling. But I can't seem to get to anything that I'm actually researching and studying. But we'll maybe the Lord's doing that, so I'll save it for Skyfall. But also, let me say this real quick. We also, applications, if you plan on being enrolled in Fire and Grace School of Ministry, you got to get those applications in quick. It's August 3rd is the deadline, because we're starting early this year, August 17th. So if you're doing that, you better giddy up, because it's ticking. And you better make sure that you really want to do it, because it is a lot of work. It's not easy, but it was not supposed to be easy. All right? So anyway, skyfallconference.org and fgministryschool.com. So, all right? Let's see. You got a song? Y'all can pick out a song. We'll do in a second. You got one? Something good? Nah. Let's do the last one. That's a good one. All right. Let's pray. Y'all don't know that one yet. It's too hard. Y'all struggled singing through that one. But we'll learn it. We'll learn it. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much. God, we thank you that we have your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. That we have Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. We have your word that is the truth, and it is the light and lamp. And Lord, that we can be the light of the world, and we are grateful that you love us and that you wash the sins away when we confess and repent, and that we can be your children, and that we can truly be children of the light, and we can walk as children of the light, no matter how dark it gets and evil. And no matter how much the hatred grows, God, we choose to be the light of the world, to not hide it under a bushel, to not draw back in fear. And I thank you, Lord, for that, and I pray for that courage and strength to fill all of your people. I know that people in Europe, people in Australia right now, it's getting really difficult for them with their governments. Lord, give them strength and courage to stand strong no matter what happens. In Jesus' name we pray.